Good morning, everybody. This is Becky Spieth, and I'm excited that you guys decided to start your Monday off with us this morning. I was just sharing right before we started the recording that I just want to welcome each one of you that are listening to us live or listening to the recorded version that's stored in my website, BeckySpieth.com. It's under the free tab if you go there. There's just an archive of many, many Bible studies that we've done over the years, and I want to encourage you, they've got titles for them. If you ever find yourself in a place where you just need a little pick-me-up or a little extra support, there's tons and tons of free resources there. You can go and listen to one of those quickly and just get some encouragement for the day or the week or even just the hour. Today's an exciting day for us because I believe that God's is starting a new season. We're in spring. Praise God, right? Yesterday was my middle son James's birthday. He's always born on the first day of spring, March 20th, and it's always a special day for us that when we celebrate him and his life. But to me, it's exciting because I know that God's doing a new work. I used to live in Michigan, and I would always watch for the crocuses to peek up, and I knew even if they came up through the snow that spring was around the corner. And for me, spring means a new start. We're in the Easter season here and the resurrection season of our Lord, and it just reminds me of all those wonderful things about new beginnings and what he's done for us. So I want to encourage you with that and keep that in the forefront of your mind. Now, I do want to talk to you today about you're not the boss of me. And I know that it sounds kind of silly, right? But I know most of us are entrepreneurs, and I think it's important to remember who really is the boss of us and who has choice and what we're really going to do. So let's go to the Lord in prayer to start off, and then we'll move from there and go into our study, okay? So, Father God, I just pray that you would speak through my mouth today, that I just pray that I will decrease and you will increase, Lord, that you will speak to our hearts and our minds, Lord, and that it would be a powerful, powerful time that we would have to spend with you. Lord, I pray for each person that's here that they would receive exactly what you would have for them. And, Lord, I just thank you so much for your love, your grace, and your mercy for all that you do. And, Lord, I pray that we walk away from our call today changed, knowing who's the boss of us and how we can serve and glorify you to the best of our ability. We love you and we thank you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I don't know about you, but many times I find myself in a place where I'm tempted. I'll be really honest with you. That there's times when I just think, you know, it'd be easier to give in to my flesh. It'd be easier to not get up, put the yoga pants on, get on the exercise bike, or get on the gazelle. There's many times I think, you know what, I would love to just eat ice cream, and specifically Ben and Jerry's New York Super Fudge Chunk ice cream, and potato chips and pretzels for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And I'm just like everybody else. I would love to give in to my flesh at times. Sometimes I there's people on the road where I just think, like, what's wrong with you? And I just feel like just letting out like a scream and just getting angry and allowing myself to go into that place because we've got really bad drivers in San Antonio most of the time. There's times when I think, oh, my goodness, I would just like to get on the airplane and just go home and that I would be tempted to be able to just, you know, push my way to the front or put myself before others or even just kind of lose it with the person behind the gate manager at the airport. But that's not what God would have for us. It tells us in the Word in Ephesians 4:26, be angry and sin not. There's such a thing as righteous anger, correct? But even if we are angry, if we have that stirring of really wanting to give into our flesh, we are still instructed to not sin. You know, the one thing that I think people get confused about is I think that they think that, like, once you're a Christian, then you're not going to feel angry. You're not going to feel like you want to give in to your flesh. You're going to People believe that you won't feel those feelings. And I'll be the first one to tell you that, at least in my walk, I haven't got to that place yet. He doesn't tell us in the Word that we're not going to feel things. But he does tell us that we don't have to act on them, right? You don't have to give in to your flesh and give in to those fleshly desires. You don't have to give in to the things of the world. He has called us to be different. Galatians 5:16 says, to walk by the Spirit, and you should not gratify the desires of the flesh. So as Christians, we're not immune to having those temptations, those desires, right? But we have to realize that our flesh is not the boss of us. That we can just look in the mirror and tell our flesh that you're not the boss of me, that I'm going to be ruled by the Spirit and by the Spirit of God. You know, a few weeks ago, well, actually, I guess it's been a month or so ago, that we went to Paraguay, the John Maxwell team did, and we saw the ravages of dictatorship can do to a country. And it was shocking to me to see the disarray and to see people living in three-walled little huts made out of plywood, and they got four boards, so they put one across the top and three on the sides, and it was an open entryway to the front, and to see trash everywhere, and just to see people that could have more, and probably at some point in their lives did have more, but to have it be ravaged by dictatorship and that kind of a rule. And the one thing that I did notice, place after place after place, and I was at extremely wealthy places. I went and worked in government agencies and within the government. I worked in some of the largest and most affluent banking situations and financial investments, and I also worked in buildings that had barely had any electricity and had been just rented out because it was the only place where we could meet, but that people were gathering together because they wanted to have something different than to live under what that dictatorship was. And the one thing is, I talked to people over and over, person to person, they would say how grateful they were for things and how happy they were. And then we were told that Paraguay was the happiest country on earth. And so we looked up on the internet, and we couldn't believe that it truly was one of the happiest countries listed on earth. Yet they had been ravaged. Most of their country, their land, their resources had been taken. And they were happy. They made that choice. And one of the things that I saw is they were hungry. They were hungry to rebuild. They wanted something different for themselves and for their families. But yet in the process, they were going to be grateful. They were going to choose joy. They were going to choose what was right. They were going to choose self-development. They were going to choose to pass that forward to the people that they loved and cared about most, and also the people that they worked with. They wanted their businesses to be different. They wanted their communities to be different. They were doing everything they could and thinking outside of the box to make things different because they knew they were the boss of them. They were not going to give in to circumstances around them. They were not going to get into the pity party that living into the flesh provides. And yeah, living into the flesh does provide sometimes temporary satisfaction, but long-term destruction. And the one thing that I saw over and over again that really was pointed out to me was that dictators have to be overthrown and not voted out. It's not a democracy. Just like flesh in your body cannot be voted out by gathering enough votes, moving in the right direction enough, that it has to be overthrown because it's destructive. 1 Corinthians 10:23 says that all things are permissible, but may not all be profitable. Let me ask you, are you letting your feelings overrule you? Are you, even though it's permissible, you won't lose your salvation over it, is it profitable for you and what you'd like to do for your life and your business, your walk with the Lord, how you minister to other people, the way that you show up, does it allow you to reach the fullness of your destiny? Is it allowing you to fulfill your spiritual DNA? Is it allowing you to live into what you have really desired to be and how you're wanting to truly serve? I don't know about you, but I've never found that the case when I was trying to serve the Lord and I gave in to the flesh. You know, it tells us in the Word to refuse to be a slave to anything. 1 Corinthians 7:23 says that God paid a high price. Do not be enslaved to the world. When you come under control of your feelings, you're giving in to them. And when you give in to them, it's like you're feeding them. You're allowing them to be strengthened, and you're growing in them. And if you feed them, you're going to strengthen that control over you. You've got to decide you're overthrowing the dictatorship of the flesh. You're not going to feed it any longer. You need to break free. So let me ask you this. What is it for you? Where are you giving into the flesh? Is it sleeping in? Is it not eating right? Is it overindulging in drinking? Or is it that you're speaking harsh words or words that you shouldn't speak, maybe disrespectfully? Are you allowing anger, frustration, procrastination to move you from fulfilling your greatness and your destiny, where you're allowing it to be the boss of you? Or are you allowing the Spirit to rule your life? That you're allowing yourself to become more disciplined. You know, a great way, if you're feeling tempted to overcome this, is to put on some praise music. Instead of feeding that your flesh, feed your spirit, man. Praise God. Move into that time of worshiping and praising Him for who He is. You know, there's some people that are new Christians that get this even better than we do. And this is a sneaky way the enemy comes in to take that ground, trying to regain where he was a dictator at one point in your life. We've been given self-control. And maturity is when you feel it, feel those temptations, feel that desire to give in to the flesh, but you don't act on it or let your feelings control you. We've all been given self-control. It tells us that in the Word. We've not been given the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. We also know that the Lord wants us to be self-disciplined, right? 2 Peter 1:3 says, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who's called us by His glory and His goodness. Through these, He's given us His very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they'll keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, it's just summed up right there, 2 Peter 1:3 through 8, that he's given us His Word. There are words and scripture for everything that we would face in our life to help us overcome them. We overcome the enemy by the Word. It was brought to my remembrance this last week as I was having lunch with a colleague that we were talking about my son Jordan. And you guys know he's like an amazing, amazing man of God. And he was diagnosed with autism as a child. And as he was suffering and trapped within his own mind and body, we didn't know what to do. He would have terrible, terrible night terrors. And I thought, well, you know what? As a baby, I would sing to him, and it would soothe him. So I thought, well, I'm going to play hymns, and I'm going to play soothing Christian music, which is awesome, right? But we saw no relief. And night after night and day after day, he was so tormented. And as I was praying, I asked the Lord to show me what I could do to bring relief to Jordan and bring some peace into his life. And the Lord said, he took me to the desert experience that he had, where the enemy kept tempting and tormenting him with fleshly desires. And the only thing, and this is what the Father spoke to me in my time with him, is he said, the only thing that can overcome the enemy is my word. And that's what Jesus used. I used his example. He took what he had with him, the word of God that was buried deep inside of his heart and his mind, and he overcame the enemy. So I encourage you to do the same thing, just like it tells us here to do. You know, 1 Corinthians 9:27 says, but I discipline my body and make it my slave so that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. You know, it's so easy to tell everybody what to do, right? And give them all the encouragement in the word. But it's harder when we look in the mirror. Don't allow yourself to be enslaved by your body, by your flesh, by your feelings, by the temptations of the world. Romans 6:12-13 says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts, and do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as an instrument of unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Now, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. What are you doing? How are you serving? How are you housing the Holy Spirit? Are you being spiritually mature, not living by giving into the flesh? God promises that he will do a work in us and through us. We're not to live in our former way of life. Put off the old man. Stop giving into the flesh, whatever it is for you, because I can tell you if you continue to give into the flesh, it's going to hinder you living into the greatness and into what God has fully promised and planned for you. God has great and amazing things, and he wants to take you into this new season of life. You know, I was watching a sermon yesterday, and the pastor was speaking about the snake line. And, you know, sometimes we refer to the enemy as the snake, and he was indicative in the Garden of Eden of even being a serpent. And I found this fascinating. I hate snakes probably more than anything on the earth. I mean, I hate them. I think I could walk across water if I saw one. I mean, I just, there's something about them I just really hate. But I didn't know that there was such a thing called the snake line. And I'm going to tell you about this just real brief before we go into prayer. Because I kind of feel like this is sometimes what happens, and it's so powerful how it mirrors about being disciplined and not giving into the flesh. In nature, there's an invisible but very real and definite line above which you can never find a snake. Early settlers in America referred to this line as the snake line. Often when they were purchasing property, they would ask the seller whether or not the property was above the snake line. And I thought that was kind of silly, but listen to the rest of this, because it's so fascinating. It says, they knew that the land on the mountain was more rocky. It was a lot harder to clear, and many times they would have to climb up above it. And as they were climbing, there was always the danger of the snakes, and they were dangerous because much of the land in the valley was infested with rattlesnakes and adders and copperheads. They were snakes that with one bite, one misplacement of their hand or foot, and it could kill them and their families. So many of the settlers chose to raise their families on the higher ground above the snake line rather than risk snake bites for themselves or their families. You know, just as the Lord has drawn an invisible line in the mountains in which the snakes can't pass because the air is too thin for them to live, there's a spiritual snake line as well. There's a level of living that's higher than that of the world. There's a level of life available to God's children that allows them to live lives that are holy and pleasing to the Lord and free from many of the problems that cause the way of the transgressor or cause it to be harder than it's necessary, according to Proverbs 13:15. You know, that passage talks about the spiritual snake line. We're told how to get above the snake line and how we can stay there. And I want to share just a few things about living above the snake line. I want you to know that you've been elevated above the snake line, that we've been enlightened about the snake line, and now that we've been empowered against the snake line. We've been elevated above the snake line because we were born into this world and we were born in the lowlands of sin. But the Bible clearly tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, according to Romans 3:23, and that even though we've been dead in our sins and trespasses, that through salvation we've overcome. The lowland of sin is a place of spiritual poverty. It's weariness, exhaustion, collapse. It's a place of hopelessness, sorrow, confusion, pain. It's a place of broken hearts and shattered dreams and ruined relationships and troubled minds. It's a place where the vicious serpent of sin injects their poison and their venom into us over and over again because we give in to the flesh and we live according to the world, bringing that pain, poverty, destruction, and death. But the good news is that we have a way to escape that, and that's through salvation. We have salvation, and then we have self-discipline so that we don't live into that type of sin anymore. God promises us that he has given us a life, and he gives us a life more abundantly, and he wants to do that through our soul realm, and as our soul prospers, our mind, our will, and our emotions. I know you probably feel like you've been rock climbing, that it's been pretty tough to get above the snake line, but I want you to know that the more disciplined you become, the more you become the boss of you, and you take control over the flesh and the temptations of the world, and the more that you sow into the spirit and not into the flesh, you become the boss of me. You become the boss of you. I become able to stay in alignment with the Lord. No, I'm not saying that you elevate yourself against what would be, you know, against the Word. But what I'm saying is use the Word. Allow that spirit man to overtake the flesh. Because God's given you that power. He's given you love, power, and a sound mind to discipline yourself against the wiles of the enemy. Go above the snake line and make today the day that you overthrow the dictatorship of allowing those things to control you and your life. I hope this word was encouraging for you today. We've got lots of prayer requests, so I want to go to the Lord in prayer and know that I'll be praying for you as the week goes on. I'd also like to ask a couple of special prayer requests before I go to the Lord, and that would be to pray for my father. He's having some health issues with his heart, and he was septic, and he's got some urinary issues and some other things. And I'm just asking that you would believe with me for a complete healing and restoration of his body. And I'm also asking for prayer for myself as well. I try not to do this too often to bring it here, but I know that you guys are awesome prayer warriors and that when two or more are gathered together, that prayers are answered and we can believe with unwavering faith. And I've got a busy schedule. The next 6 weeks are pretty grueling. I mean, they are really intense, and I came off of a really, really intense week with the International Maxwell Certification event, and my body's tired. And I've got a lot to plan and do, and I'm just relying on the Lord to provide the things that are needed and necessary. So if you would agree with me that the Lord will strengthen me as I go through this week. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we come before you, we praise and glorify you, we worship you and thank you for an amazing, amazing time this morning. We thank you that you supercharge us and you refuel us and you recharge us. And we thank you that you've given us the ability to be disciplined over the flesh, that it's not things we're to pray for. You just tell us that we are to overcome those things. So, Lord, as we are tempted by the flesh or feel like we might still be beneath the snake line, I pray that you will strengthen us to elevate above the snake line. Lord, that we would be able to move into this place of victory that you've already given us. You tell us to claim that and to move out in that victory in Jesus' name. So we thank you for it. And Father God, I pray for Bonnie's husband today as he's having another surgery. I pray that this will be the final surgery, that complete healing take place in his body from head to toe. In Jesus' name, we just thank you that he is healed and that he is pain-free. Lord, we've prayed for the contract for Carol's husband. I pray that you will give him supernatural wisdom as what to do and where to go, that you would send favor out before him, that you would help him to act on the desires of his heart, the things that you've told him to do, the things that he knows to do in order to get work, Lord, because we know that you've already given us the ability to create wealth. So help him to move into that space and manifest that. We pray that you will, any blockages that are in his way, Lord, that you would break down those terror barriers, those belief barriers, any blockage or anything that would be hindering him from work, Lord, that you would just remove those now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray for Jean as she's reentering and implementing what she learned through this last week, as well as the rest of the Maxwell team, Lord, that we would be able to reenter with purpose and passion, and that those things would not be stolen from the enemy, that they would be hidden in our hearts and in our minds, and that we would implement them right away, because we know that action is what you're asking us to do. And Lord, I pray that you would just be with Tammy, Gloriella's teammate, Lord, that she would be healed right now in Jesus' name, that her body would manifest a miracle, that the spinal fluid would come into perfect alignment as it would need to be, as well as every cell in her body. Lord, you know everything that's happening in her, Lord. Whatever's happening inside of her brain, in Jesus' name, I just ask that you would just touch those cells, that you would realign those neuroplasms, Lord, that she would be brought into complete healing in Jesus' name, that the pain that she's experiencing, the excruciating pain in her neck, Lord, and throughout her body would be gone in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that you would help Gloriella to be fervent in getting those parties rescheduled, Lord, that she would have a new fire in her belly, that discouragement would be gone, depression would be gone in Jesus' name, and that she would just be on fire to get those appointments and those parties scheduled. Lord, as she says, she's running out of month, Lord. She's got lots of days left in this month. So, Lord, I pray that you would help her to see creatively how she can fill her calendar, and that they would be more purposeful and according to your plan and your design than what she had even thought before. And, Lord, we just agree with her and praise to you for her new team member that she came in qualified. I pray that you will bless her and her business. And, Father God, you know what's going on with Desi and the infection, Lord, and the bite that she's got or whatever this is, some type of infection, Lord, on her face moving towards her eye. Lord, I pray right now that infection would be gone in Jesus' name, that the enemy that has injected her with poison be destroyed. The poison would be removed from her body now in Jesus' name, that she is pain-free, inflammation-free, and that it is gone now in Jesus' name. Father God, we love you and thank you, and I pray a blessing upon each person that's listening this morning, upon them and their business, for health and finances and creative ideas. We love and thank you, and we praise you. Lord, we know that you are ultimately the boss of us, but that you've given us the ability to be able to overcome the flesh. So, Father God, we give you glory for all things that will be done in and through our lives. We love and we praise you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Make it an incredible week, everybody. Let me know about your praise reports, and if you have any other prayer requests, you can post them on The Christian Direct Seller. I love you guys, and I will be with you again next week. Bye, everybody.